proud partner of the Seattle Seahawks on your home for the NFL and Super Bowl 56. Sports Radio 950, KJR.
All right, 7 o'clock hour here on this Bud Light Football Friday. Chuck Powell, Bucky Jacobson, Ashley Ryan with you. We won't talk all football hour after football this hour. After all, the stove must go on today at 7:30, but mostly this hour and every hour filled with football talk on a Bud Light Football Friday. And you know, Luke Wilson will be here at 8:30, Hugh Millen will be here at 9, and Mike Holmgren will be here at 9:30 to talk NFL playoffs, also Seahawks football, as well as we start rolling back our sleeves on this Seahawks offseason. But we will start the hour with our confidence picks, as we did last week, getting you ready for the NFL divisional round of the playoffs. Mike Sando, by the way, was with us yesterday. And he didn't sound so confident when he was breaking down Cincinnati versus Tennessee. He, as a matter of fact, he sounded damn torn. Here's Mike Sando yesterday on Bengals versus Titans.
I think Cincinnati's intriguing. I love the Burrow swagger and confidence. I think Burrow having rested legs, you know, getting the week off in the final game could help him be better. And they present problems with, you know, Ja'Marr Chase and just kind of the feel of their team. I wouldn't say house money, but there's no pressure on them coming into this game. I think they're in a good spot, probably lean towards Tennessee, but anxious to see how Cincinnati acquits itself, because they have a ton of swagger with that quarterback with his purple tinted glasses after the game. And,
yeah,
you know, the whole city's celebrating the first playoff win in 30 years, and he's just shrugging, and he means it. He's a real guy.
He's a real guy. From Mike Sando, our NFL insider from The Athletic yesterday. He doesn't sound too confident about picking that game.
No, but another guy that's a pretty real guy is Derrick Henry. I got he's a real guy.
Yeah.
And you're going to feel how real he is, I have a feeling.
Yeah. We got a decision day today on him.
I think it's going to be a really good game, that's for
He'll
sure.
Play. Yeah, it's good. Well, all four of them are going to be remarkable. So I'll be honest. We went 17-1 last week as a team.
Yeah, and it felt easy.
Yes. It doesn't feel easy this week.
No, I was like, well, should I make this one? And I mean, they could all, I'm equally as confident and not confident in all of them.
Well, we're going to put it on the line. Our confidence picks, this is the way it works. We put a number value by the game, the outcome, I should say, that you're most confident with the four games that will be played this weekend. We'll double the points this week since we have fewer games. So 8 points for the big game, 6 for the game you're second most confident in, then 4, and then 2. In the first round of action, Ashley and I were perfect. We got them all right, so we both finished with 21 points. It didn't matter what order we put them in, Ashley, because we were just never going to be wrong.
Right? I know.
Yeah.
Again, it was easy. Right,
Child's
Bucky?
Play.
Oh, wait. No.
Oh, yeah.
I got one wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it was all because the ref screwed it up.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure.
4 points, though. You had four points worth of confidence in that game. So that's your hold that you have to dig out of, and that can easily be done this round.
Yeah.
He had Dallas, San Francisco wrong, so that was your four-point game. So we sit here, Ashley and I tied with 21 points, Bucky with 17, as we get ready to make divisional round confidence picks. And so who wants to start here? Should we go? Let's go with Bucky. Bucky will start. To get us going here in round number one, and we obviously can double up on this. Don't worry about doubling up, just whatever you're most confident in. So, Bucky, what's the outcome of the four games this weekend for 8 points that you are most confident in?
Well, I don't know. I was kind of with Ashley. Like, I really don't have a ton of confidence in any of them. I mean, 1-4, there's a I kind of feel like Green Bay. But that's a big point. What are they, 5.5 favorites right now? That's a little bit high for me to give them the 4. I'm going to go ahead and take Tennessee minus the 3.5 is what I'm seeing on the Vegas.
Well, it's just
thing. Straight
up. It's not against the spread. It's just straight up victory.
Okay. Well, give me Tennessee then. I think Tennessee ends up pulling that. Even though I got that same worry, if you will, for Joe Burrow. I mean, he does kind of have a swagger about him. He's done with the whole, hey, I'm breaking into the league. Now he's saying, hey, I'm going to shock the world and take over the league to some degree.
All right, so Tennessee. Man, they don't strike me as a number one seed. I do find them dangerous. I've found them dangerous since the beginning of the year. And they have really not had Jones, Brown, and Henry healthy for much of this season at all, and still ended up with a number one seed. And now all of them seem to be good to go for the playoffs. They'll have home field advantage. It's a strange game to pick. We don't know for sure if Henry's going to play in this game. Cincinnati seems to be the sexier pick at this point, despite the fact that Tennessee's at home and Tennessee is favored. There's just this lack of confidence, I think, nationally that the Titans feel like a number one seed, that they feel like a Super Bowl champion or contender. The talent is there. But I don't know if they have consistently played well to suggest that they, you know, they're going to win this game even, but I get it. All of them are tough to pick.
Question for you though.
Yeah.
Think back to when the Titans had Derrick Henry healthy. Would you have thought anybody could beat them? I mean, he was unstoppable.
Sure.
He was unstoppable though. It seemed like
teams were beating them.
Well, I mean, early, but then once he got really going, they looked amazing. And then he got hurt. And then they still found a way to win without him.
Yeah.
That's why it's hard. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Bucky's going most confident
I'm amazed by that.
So what do you think, Ashley? You're up next. What game are you most confident of the result?
I just think it's really, really, really hard to bet against Aaron Rodgers at home in the playoffs.
And
especially with the 49ers, because Jimmy G's banged up. Nick Bosa is banged up with, and they don't even know if he's going to clear concussion protocol yet. Aaron Rodgers, he's got Randall Cobb coming back, I think, and they've just got a complete game. I can't go against the Packers, so give me the Packers.
Well, this is not going to be interesting if Ashley and I end up making all the same picks. So I'm gonna run the risk of doing that, because I'm going to go with Green Bay as well as my number one pick. And I think San Francisco, I think when you get ready to face San Francisco, there's this, okay, let's get ready for a fight. That is a rugged team, man. They play physically. They got the most physical tight end in the game. They got the most physical wide receiver in the game. They play defense physically, even in their secondary. So they're going to punch you in the mouth. And that kind of bodes well. This is like a finesse team going into Green Bay. I think it's going to have a lot harder time than a team that wants to run the football all day long and smash your quarterback in the face.
Yeah.
So I think that it is a really problematic matchup for Green Bay. But Jimmy Garoppolo does something dopey every game that he plays. And he got away with it because I don't think Dallas is as good as Green Bay. I don't think he gets away with that against Green Bay. And the Packers are far more than Aaron Rodgers. They are a complete team, a complete roster. We still don't know if Bakhtiari's playing. We still don't know if Jair Alexander's playing. And they're two outstanding players, but they've been playing without them almost all season long. So I'm with Ashley. I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers as my most confident pick. But then again, I've kind of had Green Bay for about 10 weeks now, feeling like they were going to win this whole thing. So we'll go with the Green Bay Packers with my pick, my 8-point pick. All right, let's go to the 6-point pick. Ashley, you get us started this round. What's the next game you're most confident in?
I mean, this, again, I said it at the beginning, and I will say it again. I feel like I am equally as confident and not confident in all these games. So I'm just kind of spitballing here. But seeing the Chiefs last week, they were so impressive. Again, they're at home. I'm going to take the Chiefs over the Bills.
Whoa, going with the Chiefs. Not only the Chiefs over the Bills, Bucky, but second most confident Chiefs over the Bills on this one.
That's a rough one there. I mean, I don't have a lot of confidence. That game could go either way. So, I mean, but definitely that's not one that I'm wanting to pick in the number three spot. And going Chiefs the Buffalo looked about as good as you can possibly look. And that's saying something, because the Chiefs looked really good too.
I think they both did, and so I'm just going with the home field advantage.
Yeah, Ashley, was your television working during the Bills game?
Yeah, it was. They did. Oh, I agree. That's why, again, equally as confident and not confident in every single one of these picks.
All right, well, at least we're going to be a little bit different. I almost started to talk myself out of Tampa Bay this week, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers over the Rams with my six-point pick in this round. I realize Tampa Bay is a bit beat up right now, but it's Tom, it's at home, and I'm not entirely sure that the Rams are going to figure out at crunch time the one or two plays to make when it matters most, and I think the Buccaneers will. So I think it's a tight game. I do find the Rams to be rather dangerous with their star-studded cast, but at the end of the day, it's Tom Brady at home in a playoff game, Bucky, so I'm going to go with the Buccaneers.
Well, you can probably make a better living betting on Tom versus betting against him. It's going to be a tough one. He's just lacking all of the guys that he's missing, right? I mean, he just has a lot of guys out. I don't know for sure if – I mean, it boils down to if the L.A. Rams play the way that they're capable on offense. If they do, in my opinion, they can beat the Buccaneers.
Well, of course they can.
Especially since they're kind of hobbled. But they – you know, Stafford has shown many times this year that he can do those kind of goofy – you know, silly plays too from time to time. If he does that, he won't beat the way that Tom Brady's going to go out there and just professionally kind of go about his business.
Well, and Tom showed he clearly only needs Mike Evans and he'll be fine.
Yeah, and then that happened. And Gronk. Gronk's been playing really well down the stretch as well. Plus, he has the spice.
Yeah.
The spice melange.
Yeah.
Yeah, so nobody else has it. Nobody else has access to it.
No.
All right, Bucky, what's your pick on the six-point line here, the game you're second most confident in?
I'm going to go with what you guys both picked earlier. I'm going to take Green Bay. I think Green Bay has just too much. I mean, it's not that it's just Aaron Rodgers. It's a complete team. Like you said, they can run the ball. They can pass the ball. They can dump it to the running backs. They play pretty good defense. I just have a feeling that it's going to be a little bit too much for San Francisco, even though I don't have a ton of confidence in it, simply because San Francisco is getting hot at the right time.
Yeah. All right. So Green Bay goes on line number two. Yeah. They're all battles, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, every single one of these games, you know, it's not necessary to say, well, they can get this done. Yeah, they can all get it done. They could all end up in going either way. That's the beauty of this weekend. Green Bay has a five. They're the 5.5-point favorite. They're the largest favorite, according to Vegas, heading into this weekend, and I think I understand why. So Bucky doesn't go too long down his depth chart before he picks the Green Bay Packers. All right, four-point line. I'll make the first pick this round. And for me, that Buffalo-Kansas City game, man, it is just epic. I'm glad it's concluding the weekend. This could be one of the most entertaining games that we've seen in a long time. And I think that at the end of the game, the Buffalo Bills are playing better, and they're going to win. So I'm going to go Buffalo on my four-point line. I think that down the stretch, there's just no flaw in their game right now. They're even running the football now.
Yeah.
And that's something that they haven't done in years. So Allen's playing his best. Their defense is playing its best. I think they're on a mission. I think that he got those hiccups, those playoff hiccups, Allen out of the way the last couple of years. And I think, Bucky, he is ready and primed to step up and finally pull off a big, big playoff victory over the Kansas City Chiefs and then cruise to the Super Bowl. I'm taking Buffalo.
Well, I think that's a really good pick. I know it is my turn because I'm going to just double down on what you're saying right there. Buffalo's who I think is going to beat Kansas City.
When
last week, if you think about the way in which those games went down, both of them played well. Well, I think what Buffalo did to a team that I think the Patriots are better than the Steelers. I think that it's more impressive what they did not only to a better team than what I think the Steelers are. I think that they're just a better football team, to be honest, right now, up and down the lineup, and so I think the Buffalo is going to go in there and kind of shock the world a little bit, even though it's a tight game. Everybody knows that. Even the spread is saying it's a tight game. I think they're going to go in there and beat them on their home turf.
Yeah, the fact that it's only a point and a half, I think that there's a recognition that Allen's ready. Allen's ready for this moment finally. And it took him a couple of years. I mean, 2 years ago in the playoffs, it was an embarrassing performance from a guy who had a breakthrough regular season. And I think that after watching him last week, it's like, how do you stop this dude? He's Derrick Henry with a howitzer on his arm. So we're both going with Buffalo, and that could be, you know, separating the winners from the losers there. All right, Ashley, your number four line pick.
I will say first, I don't think that Buffalo or Kansas City, either one winning, is going to shock the world. I mean, it's just going to be... whoever wins it will be well-deserved because they're both amazing. So I'm going to just say that about your guys' pick. But I have gone back and forth here on who I want as my lowest confidence and in second place here. And I am going to take the Rams over the Bucks.
Woo!
Yep.
Look at that.
Got to be different.
And you don't have to be.
I do. Yeah. You look at... because here's the thing is I feel like the Rams... they've found a way to win even when Stafford
Ashley,
hasn't.
Just be yourself. That's true confidence.
I am
don't
different.
Be,
that's
just don't
myself.
Try to go out of your way to be different.
I got to go with my gut. And my gut says Rams. Because, again, even when Stafford hasn't played well, they've found a way to win. Cam Akers was running the ball fantastically, if that's even a way to describe it, last week. And, again, as we said, Buccaneers are beat up. And they played an Eagles team that, I mean, shouldn't have even been in the playoffs. So it wasn't a fair assessment of where the Buccaneers are at right now with their injuries and all that stuff. So again, give me the Rams over the Bucks.
Going Rams. I mean, I've already made my case for Tampa Bay, but pretty much my entire case is it's Tom and it's the playoffs and he's at home.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, they're all good reasons to not bet against him for sure.
Well, it's almost like the trump card reason, but you know, when you start like breaking down the two teams and the health and you know the Rams have, best cornerback in the world, best defensive tackle in the world. If Whitworth plays, you got one of the best left tackles in the world, mm-hmm. maybe the best wide receiver in the world right now. When you start really picking it apart, there's a really strong case for that's just a better roster than that one.
Yeah,
but I just play that Brady trump card.
I get it.
Yeah, maybe
it.
I'm the idiot. I don't know. We shall see. All right, last round, Bucky, we'll start with you. Your two-point line, this is the result you're least confident in. Who are you taking in the Tampa Rams game?
Well, you guys just talked about it, and I, too, Ashley, think the Rams are going to figure out how to upset Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah, well, I was right there. I already had it written down. I am not following, although it would have looked like I was either way, because each one of you took both. I mean, I'm a big Von Miller fan, obviously. Mm-hmm. He's not the same dude that he once was, but he looked like he's starting to get his legs under him a little bit. That defense has some playmakers out there. If Tampa Bay is just not clicking on all cylinders because they got a bunch of guys injured, I can really easily see that Rams team getting out to a lead and kind of taking it away from them.
Yeah.
All right, Ashley, what's your two-point pick?
I got to go with the Titans over the Bengals, and the only reason I'm the least confident in this is because we don't know actually if Derrick Henry is going to play or not. If he was playing for sure, I would have probably boosted this confidence, but I'm still going Titans. I still think they deserve to be in the spot they're in. I think that the Bengals are a lot of fun, and yeah, they're the very hot team to watch right now, but... yeah, give me Titans.
Going with the Tennessee Titans. I saved this for last for a reason because I still have not decided to this moment who I want to pick in this game. But you know what? And again, not trying to be different. I'm going to go with Cincinnati.
All right.
Even when Henry comes back, I mean, it's not hard to just handing him the football. It's not like you're going to worry about like any chemistry issues with the Tennessee Titans. But they have been... man, it's the most flighty number one seed I think I've ever seen. Like, there were times this year where I was wondering, are the Tennessee Titans ever going to get out of their own way? And so here the stage is going to be its biggest. The lights are going to be its brightest, even though it's a day game. And so it's time to see if they're ready to live up to the expectations. When you go into a postseason, you go in with expectations, right, as a number one seed. And so this is the first time that they're going to be expected to do this. And I think Cincinnati's just got the right mentality, right approach, and they are peaking at the right time. So I'm going to go ahead and take the Bengals in an upset. How about the Bills versus the Bengals in the AFC Championship? That'd be awesome.
That'd be fun if the Bills didn't lose to the Chiefs.
All right, there they are. There are confidence picks. Ashley's going with the Packers, Chiefs, Rams, and Titans in that order. Bucky with the Titans, Packers, Bills, and Rams in that order. Chuck's going with the Packers, Bucks, Bills, and Bengals. So we got a lot more differences this week. We will see how it all plays out. All right, coming up next, the stove must go on. Whether Rob Manfred likes it or not, we break down another Mariner player next on Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Love.
I heard it again. I just heard John Stanton, we need your wallet. I don't know why.
I don't know where you're hearing that. Yeah, I say Crawford, Cal Raleigh, Toro, Kelnick 2, we miss you all.
Yeah, I heard all of that until I heard John Stanton, we miss your wallet.
Yeah, it's baffling to me, but also amazing.
The stove must go on. Rob Manfred and Tony Clark have decided that we can't get along. We can't come to an agreement. We can't be satisfied all being really well off financially. So let's just argue all off season and ruin everybody's hot stove. Well, you're not going to ruin ours. The stove must go on. I'll make stories up if I have to.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you should.
Yes. Make up my own transactions, and we'll go with it. We'll just ride it out, you know, until the end. But you're not going to crush our spirits. You're not going to crush our love. You're not going to crush our analysis. So for the last, 9 shows or so, at 7:30, Bucky and I are breaking down a different Mariner player here in the Stove Must Go On segment. And today we land at shortstop J.P. Crawford, Bucky. And I think this guy's a very interesting case study here, and I'll start with the big offseason story about J.P. Crawford, and that has been a lot of Mariner fans who are expecting big signings to occur and want, clearly, more big signings to occur, and there were a lot of shortstops on the free agent market, big names, Corey Seager and Carlos Correa still out there, and Trevor Story still out there, and Javier Baez, and even Marcus Semien can still play shortstop. So a lot of Mariner fans like, why would we commit to J.P. Crawford when we could have Carlos Correa? Well, the answer is because J.P. Crawford doesn't cost $1 billion and won't ever cost $1 billion like Carlos Correa might before the process comes to a close. But Jerry DePoto has come out and said, he's our shortstop. We're not considering anybody else at shortstop. We might go after a middle infielder, but it's going to be a middle infielder who is accepting of moving to second base or third base or maybe even the outfield. J.P. Crawford is our shortstop. Did you agree? Did you like the fact that Jerry DePoto came out there and defended J.P. this offseason?
Yeah. I mean, I like how J.P.'s grown over the last few years. I mean, literally he's grown since he realized that lifting weights might be beneficial for being a professional athlete. So I'm glad that he did that.
I can't hit the ball out of the infield. What's wrong? Well, do you lift weights? No, I don't.
Huh, might want to mix that in. Like you go up the stairs, if you go right, there's a weight room back there. Instead of just going left towards the spread or whatever he was doing. No, I think, sprinkle that in, please. I'm glad he did. He looked way better at the plate. It didn't look like he was swinging a wet newspaper like I'd seen for parts of the beginning of his career here. And even when I saw a little bit of him when he was with Philadelphia. I just think that he's coming into his own, though. I mean, he's like starting to get a little bit of man strength. When he's 20, this would be 26 or 27 years old this year. I'm fine with that. And I don't want Carlos Correa. That's not the guy. He's good. I dislike him because he's an Astro and all kinds of other reasons. But I'm just not a giant fan of him. And I don't want to spend I don't want to go out and break the bank on something when you already have a guy that's gold glove caliber and he's figuring out how to be that role player, the guy that he can do, that he can be to set the table somewhere in this lineup.
Yeah, this is a guy that at one point was tabbed as a top 2-3 prospect in the entire sport when he was in the Philadelphia organization. And I think one of the things that got in his way was, he was 6'2" and 64 pounds and couldn't understand why he couldn't hit the ball out of the infield. But we're seeing a grown man now. We're seeing somebody that has found the weight room. We have seen somebody in each of his 3 years that has upped his production in terms of hitting the ball more consistently and not necessarily over the fence, but I don't need him to do that, Bucky. I mean, if he hits 10 home runs, I'm all right with that. But I think there's no reason that he can't be a doubles, triples guy with his athleticism and his annual progression in terms of his strength at the plate. And so you went from 2020, where he had a 670 OPS, to now we're up to over 700 from both sides of the plate this past year. Had a 715 OPS this year. So we saw a 30-point jump in OPS from 2020 to 2021. And I don't know how large of a jump he'll make in 2022, but I expect that number to be moved a little further north again this year.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, yeah, he's not going to pop a bunch of balls out of the yard. He might run into 10, but I mean, last year he had almost 40 doubles, and you just continue that trend, right? I mean, get it 37 doubles, get it up there 40, maybe pop 10 homers, mix in a couple triples, and then run base as well, and then keep doing what you're doing defensively. He's a guy that he's definitely a main cog. I can see why they doubled down on it, and I'm still hoping they go get Story or somebody to play third, because I think you got to improve your offense, but I don't think you got to do it through shortstop.
Yeah, I'm all right having a gold glove caliber shortstop who's the leader of my team right now. So we'll talk about the leadership aspect here in a moment, but a little more on the hitting, because this is somebody who in 2019 couldn't have been worse against left-handers. I mean, for an everyday player, 160 against lefties, and that's fine for if you're a platoon player, if you're acknowledging he can't hit lefties, so we only play him against righties. But this is a guy that was an everyday player, hitting 160 against lefties and had a 179 slugging average. He had 106 at-bats against lefties in 2019, Bucky, and had two total extra base hits. And then yet he gets to 2020, and now we're hitting 242 with a 660 OPS. Excuse me, 660 OPS in 2020, and then last year we're up to 274, where there really wasn't much of a difference between him against right-handers and left-handers. He had 274 against lefties. He had 273 against right-handers. So he has eliminated through hard work. Sorry, Perry, he didn't just pick up his glove in the offseason. He's eliminated through hard work probably his biggest weakness. He is no longer a liability against left-handers, and I expect that to improve this year too.
Yeah, I do too. And I mean, it's just there's a maturity part of the game. I mean, ultimately, the things that come hardest to you are usually the last things that you'll kind of be able to rough off the round edges, and I think that was the big one for him. You get to the highest level, you're facing now not just lefties, you're facing lefties that know how to get out at other lefties. That's just kind of a shoe-in. That's what you have to do as a left-handed pitcher. And so I think he just had to kind of go through it a little bit and figure out what it was they were trying to do consistently. He took a couple of those things away, and now all of a sudden he's not a liability when he's on that side of the plate.
Now let's talk defensively. Gold Glove in 2020 in the shortened year. We thought what we were seeing that he looked better to me in 2021 just from the pure eye test standpoint. From metrics, he regressed, believe it or not. I mean, he had only 8 defensive runs saved this past year, where Carlos Correa, who won the Gold Glove, had 21. That's a monstrous gap. Also was rated out as mediocre in UZR, which is ultimate zone rating, which sort of suggests the number of balls that you get to at your position versus your peers. And so kind of at a mediocre rating there. But obviously, eye test still works in some degree, Bucky. Otherwise, I don't think Jerry DePoto is publicly saying, I have my shortstop. We're not in the shortstop market. He obviously still subscribes a little bit to the eye test, because I thought I was watching a better defensive shortstop, somebody that was rounding out some of those very few rough edges in his defensive game, even though the metrics did not suggest that 1 year ago.
Yeah, well, I think that he just looked more consistent to me. He made some great plays in 2020, 2019. He's always been capable of making those spectacular plays. And then every once in a while, he would just fall asleep and not do something on a routine one. Last year, I didn't see any of that. I saw, like, the real, true, a professional, not just a guy that can flash leather, but a professional in the way in which he went about every single play. Didn't kind of blasé, you know, kind of hot dog anything, and then all of a sudden whip it over the first baseman's head. He looked a lot better, I thought. I mean, that's crazy coming off a Gold Glove year. I thought he looked a lot better. He's not a guy that's real fast, in my opinion. I don't think he's fast. I don't watch a guy and think, wow, gosh, he can get to crazy stuff. But he takes good angles, really good at all those plays you got to come in on, whether it's backhand or forehand. He's a damn good shortstop. He's fun to watch, and I think he's going to continue to trend in just the above average to great to really, really good defensive shortstop. I don't think that's going to go anywhere anytime soon.
I think he's a great defensive shortstop. I don't know what the metrics said. I think he's going to be a great defensive shortstop for a while, and I think you're going to get an improved offensive player as well. And then comes the leadership aspect of this. I mean, Kyle Seager has, in essence, handed the torch of leadership to 27-year-old J.P. Crawford. And the first time we met J.P., the first time we saw J.P., it's like he's the guy at the party that found the turd in the punch bowl. I mean, he did not look like he was happy to be a Mariner. He did not look like he was happy to be a baseball player, Bucky. And then in, what, 3-4 short years, here he is having you've just watched his growth and how he is a magnet for his teammates, and that they are now looking to him for leadership and things of that nature. It's hard to quantify, but, man, has he made some great strides, and it looks like, you know, this is going to be a young, very good, very exciting team for the next few years, and it looks like J.P. Crawford is their leader. Are you feeling confident that he is ready for that responsibility?
Yeah, I think that he has. I think he kind of got over whatever that disappointment, that feeling of being a top prospect with the Phillies and it not working out there and then them moving on from you. I think that when we watched him at that press conference down there at T-Mobile Field, he didn't look happy about the whole move, right? Like, a lot of times guys will have this change of scenery and they're just really optimistic and looking forward to it. He didn't seem like that guy. Now, I don't know what changed. I think they're just a good group of guys in that clubhouse and they all get along real well, and he just is kind of seen himself kind of rise to being that kind of emotional leader, and I think he's going to be needed in that role now that Seager's gone.
All right, to bring it full circle, the stove must go on. JP's the type of leader that's going to make sure that the women and children get into the boat. You know,
I agree.
You know what I mean? He's not going to be a Billy Zane type.
He would never let go.
He's going to hold the door. He's going to make sure that Rose is warm.
Yeah.
And then they let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, after that, it's anyone's guess.
Yeah, that's right. That's my J.P. Crawford.
Yeah,
mine I don't know too. About the rest of you, but that's my leader. That's my captain right
that's
there.
That's my captain.
All right. Well, we'll continue. The stove must go on Monday, but J.P. Crawford is locked in at shortstop, and I am all right with that. All right, coming up next, Russell Wilson making all sorts of news this offseason, but no news bigger than this. Sports Radio 950, KJO. You got into Wonderland. You got into Wonderland. Valentine's Day is coming up, you two. I got a gift idea for both of you.
Okay, I'm ready.
You know, something that's going to go over like gangbusters, I think, with your loved one. And it's now available in stores, and it looks like it has a really powerful impact based on some of the video evidence that I've seen. RNC fragrance.
Oh.
Finally, a fragrance for a celebrity couple.
Oh, good.
Perfect.
That intertwines the smell, the aroma of wild orchid and arrogance. Like nothing ever before.
I have yet to smell a celebrity fragrance that actually smells good.
What's the leader? What's the leader in the pack? Anything come close?
I'm thinking of the person who's put out the most would be Britney Spears, and they all smelled like
Jessica Simpson.
Like the Video Music Awards is basically what they smelled like.
What about Jessica Simpson's fragrance, Idiocy?
Yeah, that's a good one, too. They all smell like 80s perfume, when apparently people didn't know. It was like cheap perfume, like exclamation. That was.
I love that Johnny Depp has one out, and he's the most famous person in Hollywood for stinking.
Yeah, he doesn't look like he would smell good at all.
Yeah, he hasn't showered since 1984.
Well, he's been living on a desert island with rum.
That's what was eating Gilbert Grape. He hadn't bathed.
Oh, poor Arnie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the celebrity fragrances, you take them with a grain of salt, you roll your eyes at them. But this one takes the cake because it's two bottles intertwined. I'm not even sure how to use them. What is the message that you're supposed to use them together as a couple, and then the combination of the aromas, Russell and Sierra, will create sort of this, cloud of perfection, aromatic perfection? Is that the idea behind it? Are there instructions?
You mix them. Two smells of arrogance and then a little dab here.
I was going to say yes.
Dab there. Next thing you know, I have a hard time thinking it's going to work out. I'll bet neither one of them smell good, and let alone doubling down with two different fragrances. Or do you buy it so that as a couple, she has hers and he has his, because oftentimes perfume smells different than cologne.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah, I don't understand if you're supposed to use them together. And they're not really saying, but they do say life during quarantine has only gotten more romantic for Sierra and Russell Wilson. So apparently they've...
Wow.
Maybe this is the smell of their quarantine love.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that almost made me throw up in my mouth,
actually.
We
got a smell.
R&C fragrance.
Yeah.
With a hint. Breathe it in.
That's harmony and intense.
That's the smell of elevated sense of importance.
Well, and I just want to know, if I use it, are my husband and I going to be just like attached to each other? Will he be attached to my neck in this way that it's showing me in these photos? Or is it going to be like, what did you bathe yourself in?
Have you
can't
seen
get him off you?
Have you seen the his and her toilets that are like back to back?
No.
Okay, apparently, I don't know if it was a joke, I don't know if it was something that made the rounds, but there are, you can put back-to-back toilets, and then the his and her, and they sit up. That's what it kind of reminds me of.
Okay.
Is,
that's
you know,
sharing
the,
your essence right there.
Back-to-back et du toilettes.
Yeah.
That they're, even the bottles are, like, intertwined, so that's kind of, and then you separate them, and then I'm guessing, this is the strategy, that the man uses the Russell one.
Yeah.
And don't dare use the Sierra one, the one marked C.
Right.
And then the woman uses the Sierra one, and you don't put on the Russell one because you might combust. And then you smell good all day. But if you really want to smell something like you've never smelled before, then when the two odors come together, then it unlocks something. It's like bread made love to popcorn or something.
Oh,
yeah.
Popcorn
bread.
It's
like the pheromones just start flying. Next thing you know, you can't even control yourself. You're like, did you mix both?
Did you do harmony and intense? I just don't understand. So then if you separate them, it looks like you can't set the bottle down on its own or it'll just fall over. So they have to be stored together.
Oh.
I mean, it looks like that. They're intertwined and leaning on each other. So I don't imagine they just hold up very well on their own. So you always have to have these two together.
Oh.
What if you accidentally mix the R and the C lids up? And then all hell breaks loose. It's a recipe for disaster.
Oh, boy.
But good news. If you have $90 to spend on it, you will probably never regret spending that. You'll regret it. Yeah.
Oh, it's the fragrance of I can't get enough attention.
Yeah. It's the fragrance of look at us. We are amazing and beautiful.
There's nothing we can't do together.
It's true.
We can stink.
If you've ever wondered what, hey, look at me, smelled like.
That should be their slogan.
It's
R&C
fragrance.
That's exactly what it is.
That's our quarterback.
And you have to think that's probably what he was working on while he was rehabbing. I'd assume.
Yeah. Well,
is,
yeah.
Yeah. And so that's why he wasn't sleeping, and that's why he was having to rehab at like midnight. Because all day it was smell this. Now this one or this one? One or two?
Actually,
one
if you spritz two. If you spritz on his, you actually heal faster too.
That's why small, you can come back so fast?
Small print.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it has some regenerative abilities too.
Or does it's it just
unlimited.
Make you
a
think?
A lot of belief.
It makes you think you heal faster. That's what it is.
Well, it's unlimited.
Sure. It
That's
is.
What it is.
It is.
It is unlimited. With its potential. All right, eight top stories of the day coming your way next. It smells like the Ocho on Sports Radio 950 K.